Very good. Welcome, everybody, to the ongoing meditation class. And as I have to announce every week, if you come here for the introduction to meditation class, this series of four lectures, which you can join at any period, to start the journey of meditation, that class is being held in the room to my right. This is the ongoing class. And the difference is that one of the differences is that we give just specific instructions to one part of meditation rather than giving an overall description of meditation. And also that when we get down to the meditation, it can be 40 to 45 minutes duration, which is quite difficult for those who've never meditated before. So if you come for the first time or second time, please, that's in the room to my right. And number two is that at this class we always talk about something to do with Buddhism, or with meditation rather. And last night I was focusing on an important, I'm going to repeat, not in the same terms, but in some terms, this afternoon. And that is that I have received several articles from many different sources of sometimes the problems which we have in meditation. And we don't really seem to have those problems here, because the type of meditation which we teach here, number one, is not aggressive. We don't teach people to sit meditation in a posture which somehow they say it aligns all the energies, and if you really want to get enlightened you have to sit like this and not in any other position. And we force you, even though you've had knee reconstructions and a whiplash in a car accident and sports injuries and it hurts like hell, but you just push through that pain, you'll get enlightened. That is, please excuse me, bullshit. And it does cause a lot of harm to people. So first of all, you know, please accept that I'm a very, very well-known teacher in this world. When I was in Korea, we had a meeting of, it was supposed to be the seven world meditation masters. And there only four turned up, at least I was one of them. So I have got the credentials to know what I'm talking about. And the reason why people regard me like that is because you do know what's happening with the mind and with the body. And so please, using my authority, sit in a comfortable posture, on a chair if you wish. Lean back if you want to. Put your legs, I don't care where you put your legs, as long as they're comfortable. You can screw them off if you like, if you've got false ones. But whatever. Because the posture should not be forced, nor should anything in the meditation, but should be actually very compassionately and very gently arranged to the maximum possible comfort. You're going to be able to sit for 45 minutes without too much trouble. And if pain does come up during the middle of the meditation, readjust the posture. Move. And one of the reasons for that is, yes, you can develop endurance, but look, if you really, really want to develop endurance, join a gym, do the Rottnest swim or something. But you know, this is not about endurance, this is about wisdom. And it's something which, okay, it's many of you who may know some of the traditional teachers of meditation, we have some of the Thai disciples sitting over there. There was a story which was told to me personally by one of the famous meditation teachers in Thailand, Mahabua, Ajahn Mahabua. He was the person who taught His Majesty the King of Thailand his meditation. And when I went to see him once, he gave a talk. And he said, this is especially for the Western monk, meaning me. And he said one of the stories about he's an Ajahn Chah's teacher, a fellow called Ajahn Mun. And he said, when he was staying with Ajahn Mun, that this Ajahn Mahabua had a spasm or an episode of malaria. Every monk in those days always had malaria. It was par for the course. You were living in the jungles. And there's no way of really avoiding it. The monks just live with it. And he had an episode of malaria. And it came the time when the monks were doing their chores in the afternoon, which was sweeping. And this Mahabua was a very tough monk. He was probably one of the toughest of the monks which I knew. And he decided that in the middle of a fever, shaking, sweating, a very high temperature, who cares, I'm getting out from my bed and I'm also going to sweep. So he staggered out of his hut, grabbed a broom, and started to sweep with everybody else in the middle of a fever with the shakes of malaria. And as soon as this Ajahn Mun saw him, he blasted him, "You stupid monk." And he said, "We don't fight as Buddhists, we investigate." And that was the teaching which I remember getting from Ajahn Mahabua. We don't fight our body, we investigate it and kind to it. So if you do have pain in the body and it's really hurting, don't endure and fight. "I can beat this down. I am stronger than the pain. Who do you think I am?" No. Just investigate, learn, be wise, use wisdom power, never willpower. And that by itself, if you follow that, will save a lot of even getting near to any problems in your meditation. Your body will be fine and you won't get this terrible tension. And meditation will not become traumatic. Because many of these things which I've read recently about the problems in meditation are just post-trauma. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. And the trauma is sitting down meditating and going to one of these stupid retreats where you have to sit for 9 days, you know, a certain time every day, every morning. You can't get up, you can't sort of go to the toilet, you can't walk. That's trauma. And it's post-traumatic stress. It is. Honest. So, we don't do that. But sometimes what happens, the other problem in meditation sometimes happens, is that because, you know, you're getting aware, sometimes you go to places in the mind you've never visited before, and it can be quite scary. And whatever's scary can sometimes result in anxiety. And people can sometimes generate anxiety attacks. Now, if you have anxiety attacks, how do you deal with those? Give many talks about those, and recently when I was in Hong Kong talking to a professor at Prince of Wales Hospital in Hong Kong, and he was really interested, and I think I might actually get through to this guy to do some research on this, and dealing with anxiety with mindfulness and kindness, with kindfulness. So whatever emotional problem you have, which comes up in meditation, a bit of scare, a memory of a previous experience which you've suppressed, and it starts to come up, please, don't be just mindful, be kindful of it. It's the kindness, the gentleness, the softness, which means you're not brittle. If you're brittle, when these things come up, it can crack you. If you're really soft, you're like a sort of a lacrosse. You can punch it and sort of, you know, nothing sort of, you know, hurts, nothing breaks. It's soft and malleable. And that's the sort of mind which we need. And once it comes up, if there's something comes up which is a bit scary or painful, remember, a sack of mashed potatoes, kind and soft, and then it doesn't harm you. And of course, the second thing is not just kindness again, but a bit of wisdom, to investigate that whatever comes up, it passes. Because what happens if you get upset, anxious, afraid of it, you actually feed it, you make it stronger and bigger. For those of you who were here last night, I gave a wonderful simile which I've used for years in meditation retreats, and I'd only go through it very quickly because many of you were here last night, and if you weren't here, you've heard me say this before, it's in one of the books which I have written, The Monster Who Goes Into the Emperor's Palace. And all the soldiers try to get it out with their swords, shouting at it, "Get out!" But every unkind word, unkind deed, even unkind thoughts, that monster just gets an inch bigger, more of a problem, more offensive. And by the time the emperor comes back, last night it was an empress, so I'm being gender neutral by saying it's an emperor today. By the time the emperor came back, this monster was huge. And really frightening. But the emperor knew what to do. He said, "Welcome. Thank you for coming to visit me. Has anybody got you something to drink or something to eat yet?" And those few sincerely kind words meant that the monster grew an inch smaller and less aggressive, less frightening. allowing everybody to see their mistake and understanding what was needed. So they all came along, were so kind to that monster. Foot massage, got it some food, ordered a pizza, monster size, which you can get apparently, monster size pizza because it's a monster, whatever it likes, shoulder massage, Reiki, whatever it was, they were so kind to this monster that soon the monster got shrank and shrank and shrank till it was the size when it first came in. They kept on with the kindness until it got so small the monster vanished completely away. And that's based on a story told by the Buddha in the Devaputta Samyutta about the anger-eating monster. You give it anger and it grows bigger, it gets more frightening, more of a problem. And that's a wonderful simile, because if there is things which come up in the meditation, remember many of those things, things like anxiety, things like fear, are anger-eating monsters. You give them anger, get out, I don't want to feel like this, this is terrible, why is it happening to me? That negativity actually feeds it. So they say, welcome anxiety, oh, I haven't been anxious for weeks, where have you been? Come on, let's hang out together. Now this is not a joke, but changing the attitude softens everything and the problem actually decreases. A little bit of wisdom like that, a little bit of kindness, and a little bit of even gentleness of where you do the meditation. We start with compassion. We compassionately meditate all the way through. We don't fight. We don't force. And then you find the problems which sometimes people are talking about, they do not arise from you. And you have a wonderful, peaceful, happy, and very, very still and profound time in your meditation. So, the kindness and the wisdom. So please remember, we don't fight. This is not an army. Buddhism is not a military religion. This is a very soft and peaceful and kind and wise path. So, that way, you don't have to have any problems. And for you, who've got a good teacher, coming to a good place, you'll have a wonderful time. And all those things you read from other people, it's just because some of the stupid teachings which people give these days. So there we go, that was just a little bit of a little talk about trying to avoid the problems of meditation. So now we can actually do the meditation, so if you get yourself nice and comfortable, as I'm going to do in a few seconds, I'm not going to force myself, I'm not going to sit in full lotus with a straight back if it's going to kill me. If I'm comfortable, yeah, fine. Very good. Then you close your eyes. With your eyes closed, you can become more sensitive to your bodily feelings. You are not distracted by sights. Your brain has more space to process my words and also your physical feelings. So especially focus on your body. Is it comfortable? And don't quickly say, yeah, it's okay. That is not good enough. If you want to go to meditation, far more careful than... So when I was in Hong Kong, I was asking people, even if you think you're comfortable, move. Move your back or your bottom or something. Because as you are moving, you are noticing that mindfulness can perceive different levels of comfort in your body. I move my back, I stretch it, that doesn't feel good. Loosen it, now that feels good. This is an exercise in kindfulness. You're aware of your body, you move it, find out which is the best. You may think that's simple, but that is of the essence of meditation. You cough, does that feel better? Great. Your mindfulness, mindful of a part of the body, in that particular case, your throat, if you cough, it feels better. That's why we do it. So check out your legs. Feel them as much as you possibly can. Move them if you need to find the best position. Your butt on the chair, on the cushion. Is it really comfortable? Again, your back. People have a lot of back problems because they don't practice awareness of that part of their body. Mm-hmm. They do all sorts of stuff, they don't know what they're doing. Right now, you be aware of your back. Zoom in on the back. Put all your attention on that back. Feel it. Feel it as fully as possible. When you're mindful of it, you're aware of it, you have the capacity, the ability to move it, adjust it, to find comfort as much as you can. When you're thinking about all your problems, you can't be aware of your body. And that's where it gets injured. The shoulders. Loosen the shoulders. Feel them getting loose. All your awareness there. Also, when you are aware of your body for a long time, it doesn't give any space for your thoughts to come up. That's one of its other advantages. And then your arms and your hands. There is no particular position for your hands. Find out yourself by movement which is the most comfortable position for you. Feel it. Then on the head, sometimes when I open my eyes before people, I end the meditation, people's got their eyes all screwed up. No wonder they get tension and headaches. Can you be aware of muscles around your eyes and around your mouth? How are they? Are they relaxed? Or are they all tensed up? Emotions manifest very easily on the face. Relaxing the face has a reverse influence on emotions. It actually creates positive emotions when you relax the muscles of your face. Just feel the body relax. movement, you've gone as far as you can by movement, then there is another level of relaxation, which I highly encourage people to learn. Next, you choose the part of your body which is irritating, hopefully not in pain, but if it is, go there. Like, tune into it like tuning into a TV channel. Zoom into it like Google Maps. Go right into that one part of your body which is not relaxed, which is tense. You may have an allergy in your sinuses, an ache in your stomach from some indigestion, or a pain in the leg for some exercise. Put all your attention, focus, everything, fully mindful as much as you can of that one part of your body. Now instead of moving, move your attitude. Change the way you regard that pain, that ache, that irritation. A couple of little imaginary exercises might help. You can imagine that that part is being stretched, being pulled, like a monster is pulling at you, like two monsters stretching a rope, like a tug of war. And then you loosen both ends. When you loosen both ends, the rope loses its stress and becomes loose. Imagine doing that to the part of the body which is irritating. Stop pulling at it, stretching it. Or, if it's the other type of irritation, pain, of being under pressure, imagine loosening off that pressure. And as you change your attitude to one of letting be, kindness, opening the door of your heart to that part of your body which is irritating or tense, you should be able to feel the sensation eases, the irritation gets less, the pain is not so intense. For want of a better word, I call it relaxation. By a little attitude, not by an act of will, but by an act of kindness, you relax a little part of your body, and your mindfulness, your awareness, can register relaxation occurring. You now have power, so to speak, to relax your own body, just a little part of it. So the irritation vanishes, pain disappears, aches get less and less and less, like the anger-eating monster, because you're giving it kindness. And it vanishes completely away. Kindfulness. Stay with your body. The longer you stay with it, the more you are taking the energy away from thoughts and worries, keeping it on your body. And it feels good. And the more you relax, the better it feels. I usually continue until I experience, for want of a better word, I call the tingle of relaxation. Body feels so loose and open and free, and it is delightful. It's really pleasurable just to sit here so relaxed, more relaxed than when I first came in, physically. That's also going to avoid any problems which I was reading about last week. I'm no longer fighting. I'm at peace with my body. Deeply at peace. Otherwise known as relaxed. And then it's the time for me to do the same to my mental world, a world of thoughts and past and future, fears and memories, all that stuff, all the work which I have to do in my job. Now is the time. I don't look at the details happening in my mind. You're not micromanaging. You are looking at the big picture of your mind. How peaceful is it? Or how agitated? When I look at that, and I'm mindful of that, how can I make my mind more peaceful, less agitated? I can't do that by moving. All I can do is by changing an attitude by opening the door of my heart to this moment, making peace with this moment, letting it be, being kind, being non-judgmental to whatever I'm experiencing now. If I do it right, my mindfulness sees, my peace of mind increases. The agitation gets less. By this mindfulness and kindness working together, I calm my mind down. And the more calm the lake becomes, the less waves there are on the surface. More calm my mind is, the less the thoughts. That is how I go past the thoughts, by just calming the mind, putting all my attention on that, adding the kindness, so my mind becomes really peaceful. soon you'll start to notice your breathing. For me, it always comes up by itself. When you do, just let the mind settle on the breath. Regard your breath as a friend, never as a slave or servant. Do not control your breathing. Be a friend to her. I will now be quiet until the end of the meditation. very close to the end of the meditation now. How do you feel? What's it like inside? How at ease is your body? And how peaceful your mind? Just like I mentioned, the delight of a relaxed body, there's also the delight of a peaceful mind. Can you feel that? I'm now going to ring the gong 3 times. Please listen to every sound of the gong. After the 3rd ringing, come out from your meditation. So, have you got some questions on the internet today from overseas? If so, bring them over. To let people know while the questions are coming, that there's no internet connection. Oh, very good. Today at 4:30 we're having our annual general meeting for the Buddhist Society of West Australia. Those who are especially members, please stay because we need you in the quorum. These are the keeps this place running. You can see just all the things which we do here and we have here that doesn't run by itself. It's run by you, the members, and myself and the Sangha. So that's going to happen at 4:30. But before then, are there any questions about the meditation today? So obviously the internet wasn't working. Yes. What comes up? Oh, the saliva coming up. The thing to do is if saliva comes up, just leave it alone.